Thanks for listening to our Cambridge Breakfast podcast. Remember, you can subscribe with Radio Player or your favourite podcast app and never miss an episode. And don't forget to join us live on Cambridge 105 Radio, weekday mornings from 7.
Cambridge Breakfast with Julian Clover and Lucy Malazzo.
Cambridge 105 Radio.
A new Cambridge startup has developed a technology that removes CO2 from the atmosphere and turns it into an eco-friendly alternative to concrete fillers, blocks, tiles and plasterboard. Michael Evans is the CEO, came from Cambridge Carbon Capture, and he joins us this morning. Good morning, Mike.
Good morning, Jane.
Good morning.
Thank you very much for coming in. So you have to explain how this all works to somebody. I'm trying to remember what I got in O-level science. I think the short answer was not very high. So,
well, basically, we've devised a way that can take very common materials like serpentine, olivine. These are rocks that are sort of a mixture of magnesium and silica. And we've got a process that splits the magnesium bit from the silica bit. Now, the magnesium bit, we then go on to use that to capture CO2 to form magnesium carbonate. And here's a block of the stuff I brought with me.
Okay.
There you go.
There we are. Nicely logoed in as, in as well. And that's how...
Yeah, Karen.
Oh, no, Lucy's got it. How to describe it for us?
Oh, it's very light. It feels a bit on the... like it should be chalky, but doesn't leave any residue. It just looks like a plaster cast.
It's very similar to plaster in a lot of ways. But when you say it's chalky, if you're a weightlifter or a gymnast, you're quite... commonly use this as a sort of a thing to put on your hands before you do.
Oh, really? Well, yeah. You see them rubbing their hands, yeah, don't
that's
you?
That's exactly the
before
sort of stuff.
Before they start,
It's incredibly benign, and you can actually eat the stuff. In fact, you do actually eat it when you buy magnesium supplements from health food shops. So there's not...
So are we talking like things like milk and magnesia? That has that sort of constituency, doesn't it?
Strange you mention that, because that's... I mentioned the second process where we take the magnesium and convert it to magnesium carbonate. That's exactly what your grandma used to do when she gives you milk and magnesium.
Yes, which tasted so bad it had to be good for you.
Exactly.
So the process of actually capturing the CO2 from the atmosphere, are you talking about... I'm thinking I'm sort of not really a butterfly net, but some sort of device on the side of a building that might...
Well, I'll take you back to the 80s. And remember the story about... Well, it wasn't a story. It was a very big issue around acid rain.
Oh, yes.
Yeah, that's right. And this is because all the coal burning that we were doing right across Europe was putting sulfur up into the atmosphere, and that was coming back down as sulfuric acid in the rain, and it was killing off the forests of Scandinavia.
Mm-hmm.
So on every power station or place where they burnt fossil fuels, they actually put these scrubbers on there. So basically the flue gases, the gases from burning of the coal, actually pass through this big machine, which basically just rains limestone slurry down through it. So what we're proposing here is exactly the same technology, but using magnesium instead of limestone. And it works on exactly the same principle.
So these would go where? Where would you put those things in? On the power stations?
Or
anywhere where there is some sort of industry, some industrial work going on?
Well, exactly that. So any place where they're currently burning any fossil fuels, we literally just put this sort of scrubber on the end of the tailpipe, effectively. And these sort of things are used quite commonly for... I've actually found a company in Birmingham that rent these machines out, and they rent them to people like chicken farmers and people like that who have problem smells. And basically they scrub the smells from the air that passes through the chicken sheds and things like this. So we're actually looking at actually using those
if you have a chicken shed there, just to continue this, how long before you get it's sort of brick sized, isn't it? How long before one of those, or at least enough substance to produce one of those, is created?
This happens almost instantaneously the flue gases pass through this machine.
Okay.
So it's quite a quick process. But you know, actually, one thing I would like to talk to your listeners about, particularly, is basically the scale of what we're trying to do. The biggest power station in the UK is a power station called Drax. Right, and it produces 13 million tonnes of CO2 every year. But for that, it produces something like 5% of the UK's electricity last year.
Mm-hmm.
So So 13 million tonnes, it's very difficult to envisage what that actually looks like. So if that was concrete, right, rather than a gas just floats away and nobody thinks about. I actually did a sort of like a little mind experiment where I thought, right, what's 13 million tonnes look like in, if it was a column of concrete? So I looked at Trump Tower and I thought, right, if that was a if that was a solid lump of concrete...
Many would say it was, but that's
another... Well, it's certainly very thick in there.
Right? Yes, absolutely.
So how many Trump Towers would 13 million tonnes be? And I worked it out at about 16. So 16 Trump Towers every year of CO2 is leaving that one power station.
So in terms then of the uses for this, it's as we said in our introduction, it's the kind of concrete-y, plasterboard kind of thing where this could go in and just... take the place of whatever's there right now or whenever you're building something new to put in.
Interestingly, you know, everybody must be familiar with plasterboard. It's made of a material called gypsum, which isn't a particularly great material for building because, well, for a start, if you leave it in the rain for 5 minutes, it starts falling to bits. And if you've ever had a flood, you know that it's going to cause you some problems in your house. But this gypsum... it is actually produced by those sulfur-removing machines that are currently on coal-fired power stations.
Right.
But as we're closing all the coal-fired power stations down, the supply of gypsum is actually coming down.
So there's like double business opportunity
Well, if you replace gypsum directly with this, as it comes out of our machine, this is basically the slurry that just was let to dry in a box, right? So it creates like a brick. And it's lightweight and it's insulating, but it's incredibly fireproof. Right, you cannot. I mean, I've attacked this with a blowtorch. So that's what 1,800 degrees for half an hour at a time, and there's no visible damage other than a bit of crazing on the surface. We've put a plaster coat of 4 millimeters of this material over some of the panels that were used on Grenfell Tower, and again attacked it with a blowtorch. And within 4 millimeters, we managed to block 1,800 degrees centigrade.
So that could really go on both inside and outside
Absolutely.
Of buildings. That's the potential use for all
and,
this.
And if you made plasterboard out of this material, you've effectively got 100% fire block in your house. You can actually contain it.
So where are we now? How far away are we from this becoming something that the building industry can pick up on?
Well, we're currently working with CRH. Now, CRH is the world's third largest construction material manufacturing company. They in the brands that you're probably familiar with in the UK, Tarmac UK, for instance. Mm-hmm. So we're working with them to develop some concrete products. We're also looking at working with another construction material company around producing plasterboard from the materials as well.
Right.
So in terms of the other things as well, I mean, it can be used as a base for paint. Paint usually uses something called titanium oxide, which is like a very white, thick sort of slurry, which is the base of most paints. But it's actually carcinogenic. So what we potentially could do is replace that material with magnesium carbonate as a slurry and make a fireproof paint, which would be quite interesting.
Amazing.
That's fascinating. Well, thank you, Michael, for coming in and telling us about this.
Sorry, there is one final thing.
Quick.
I mean, the basic... really unique selling point of our technology is that because of all the byproducts we can produce, and we have other byproducts, so we can produce metals, we can produce silica for making car tyres and things like
that. So not just what we see in front of
that's
us, but
right.
a bit more
But
too.
If you sell all those byproducts, you can actually make a profit from capturing CO2. So this is what I think is a real game changer, because at the moment, you know, you get everybody sort of like kicking the can down the road saying, it's all going to add to the cost of energy. We're actually going to make some profit out of this.
Yeah, and you know, for some people in this world, it's the profit side of things which gets them interested, isn't it? No matter what the damage to the environment happens to be, as soon as there's money to be made, in they come.
Well, absolutely, and it takes away one hell of an excuse that they used to have to not do anything.
Absolutely. Well, Michael, thank you very much for coming in and telling us about this. Michael Evans is the CEO of Cambridge Carbon Capture. Do pop by and see us again.
I'll give you regular updates.
I do. We need the front of our offices here redone out. Maybe we should use some of the stuff on it. Thanks very much indeed.
Thank you. Cambridge 105 Radio.